The second time I saw eastern curlews, just under a year after I saw them on my Mud Islands trip, was on another island in Victoria, French Island. French Island is in Western Port and is immediately north of Phillip Island, but it's as undeveloped as Phillip Island is popular. Despite having an area of more than 100 square kilometres, French Island has a permanent population of only around 100 people. It's unconnected to mains electricity or water. The only cars on the island belong to the island's residents. Cars can be taken across by ferry, but it's so expensive that most people don't bother. Yet French Island is easy to get to from Melbourne, particularly by public transport. From Flinders Street Station in the CBD, the travel time is only 2 hours. By Metropolitan train to Frankston, then connecting train to Stony Point, then passenger ferry to Tankerville on the island. Since my first visit to French Island, I've returned again and again. The reason for each of my visits is simple. Most of the island, and much of the waters off its coast, are national park. And the national park exists because of the great quantity of animal life the island supports. The island is ringed by tidal mudflats. When the tide is out, you can walk along the beach and look out onto swans, ibises, spoonbills, ducks, geese. But best of all, if you go there in summer, you'll see migratory shorebirds. French Island is an internationally recognised and protected habitat, and when I visited it in January 2015, I went with the hope of seeing shorebirds. I walked along the coastal road that runs north from the jetty where the ferry docks until I found an overgrown dirt track. I followed the track at a right angle to the road until it reached the beach, and from there I ventured out onto the mudflats. They were wide, a couple of hundred metres perhaps, and the tide was all the way out. I wanted to see what I could see. What I saw was eastern curlews. Not many of them, but only them, to the exclusion of all other shorebirds. I was captivated. I'd seen them from the boat on the trip back from the Mud Islands, but that view had been fleeting and had only whetted my appetite. So when I saw them on French Island, I walked after them. I shouldn't have, but I did. I didn't realise at the time that eastern curlews have a reputation for being more wary, more given to flight than other shorebirds. I wanted to get a photo of them. I'm not a bird photographer, but I wanted to have some record, some proof for myself that I'd seen this bird that had fascinated me for so long. But they saw me coming, and as I approached, they opened their wings and flew off down the coast. But I was energised by seeing the curlews, and though I regretted making them fly, I felt myself drawn towards their world. I started to wander further out onto the mudflats, the sea to my left and the island to the right. Only a few metres off the beach, I felt strangely as if I'd been freed from the land completely. It was intoxicating. But it was difficult to judge how far out I was, since the mudflats offered no landmarks. Not quite on a beach, not quite at sea. It seemed as if I was in an in-between world. Nature writing, as with any genre, has its buzzwords, and perhaps the most cliched of these is liminal. It's supposed to convey a kind of deep thinking about place, a subtle consideration that can locate a particular landscape in two places or two traditions at once. It's become a way for people to reward themselves for their imagination. Urban fringes are liminal. Plantations are liminal. Tidal mudflats are always liminal. But to refer to a place, particularly a natural landscape, as liminal demonstrates not imagination, but a catastrophic failure of imagination. It is to refuse or to be unwilling to see a place for what it really is, which is above all else of itself. When I walked out onto the broad mudflats of French Island, naively trying to approach the curlews, I was not in some no man's land between two landscapes, the beach and the tree line to my right, and the abrupt surf of Western Port to my left. I was in the midst of a landscape, and a habitat fully imbued with its own richness and ecology and biodiversity. At some point, after another curlew and then another had flown, and realizing that I was losing my bearings and creeping ever closer to the sea, I stopped and looked around me. The mud was specked with tiny dark dots. Spreading across the whole expanse as far as I could see, they were unremarkable, part of the background pattern of the world. When I stopped walking and looked at them, though, I realized that they were crabs, light blue soldier crabs. Thousands and thousands of them all around me fleeing into their burrows. It was these crabs and whatever other small animals were hiding beneath the mud that the curlews had been feeding on. We don't tend to value mud, and we don't value mudflats. We view them as wastelands to be filled in. To the curlew, though, and to its shorebird kin, and to the great variety of invertebrates on which the shorebirds feast to fuel their migrations, the mudflats are everything.